morning, everyone. Thank you for getting up early this morning to come to the session. The title of our session is Place, Race, and Gender, Diabetes Management Among High-Risk Populations in the United States. I'm Michelle Owens-Geary at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and I'll serve as the moderator for today's session. Diabetes is a serious and costly disease. In 2012, over 29 million people were affected by diabetes, which represents more than 9% of the United States population. And the number of persons is increasing each year in all groups. This is especially the case in populations at high risk for poor health. The annual cost of diabetes in 2012 was estimated to be $245 billion. The management of this disease is important for preventing acute and chronic complications, morbidity and hospitalizations, and reducing direct and indirect costs, as well as improving the overall quality of life for persons with diabetes. Based on research evidence, the American Diabetes Association defines optimal standards of care for persons with diabetes. In addition, the Community Prevention Task Force found sufficient evidence for effectiveness for recommending diabetes self-management education in community gathering places for persons with type 2 diabetes. There are three dimensions for the delivery and receipt of diabetes management and optimal care: the individual and his or her family, providers of care, and community and clinical systems. The presentations that will follow will provide examples of each dimension in the delivery and receipt of recommended care for persons with diabetes. The first two panelists will discuss how high-risk communities have responded to limited or lack of access to DSME services by using alternative diabetes self-management programs and or cultural or linguistically appropriate DSME services. And the last three panelists will discuss the impact of diabetes on women's health by focusing on ways to address clinical systems and recommendations for improving the quality of services provided to women with gestational diabetes. Our first speaker today is Kia Stewart. Dr. Stewart is a health education specialist with a division of Diabetes Translation, the National Diabetes Education Program, also known as NDEP. Currently, she serves as the lead for the National Program to Eliminate Diabetes-Related Disparities in Vulnerable Populations Program. Prior to joining NDEP, she was a health education specialist with the National Center on Birth Defects and Developmental Disabilities, Division of Blood Disorders, where she provided technical assistance on health education, community partnerships, and evaluation for the registry and surveillance system for, here we go, hemoglobinopathy RUSH project. She had to help me with that word. I tried. So the title for her talk today is The Role of Cultural Tailoring and Community-Based Diabetes Self-Management Education Programs Among Vulnerable Populations. Please help me welcome Dr. Kia Stewart.
Thank you all so very much, and again, welcome to the session, and thank you for waking up on this very gloomy Monday morning to come hear us. I'd like to speak with you today about community-based DSME programs and the role of cultural tailoring in enhancing those programs. Today I'll use examples from the National Program to Eliminate Diabetes-Related Disparities in Vulnerable Populations to help to highlight some of the strategies used to adapt materials and activities for select vulnerable communities. So the National Program to Eliminate Diabetes-Related Health Disparities in Vulnerable Populations is a 5-year cooperative agreement to reduce and eliminate health disparities associated with diabetes. CDC funds 6 national organizations to work with 18 partners across the U.S. To plan and implement and evaluate community-based and evidence-based interventions. So just very briefly, community-based DSME programs we found to be very effective, particularly amongst vulnerable communities. Typically, community-based DSME programs are offered in local settings, community health centers, libraries, other private organizations or facilities, and faith-based institutions, churches, things of that nature. So some of the benefits of community-based DSME. Typically with a community-based DSME program, the program content for those programs are typically based on the needs of that target group. So it's not your blanket curriculum, but something that is specifically tailored to those needs of that population. The program content focuses on teaching and preparing participants for how to manage their diabetes within their homes or within their communities. Community settings are typically more familiar and more convenient to the target group. Ideally, those settings are places where the participants are frequenting on a daily basis or within their daily routine. Scheduling is typically based on the participant needs. And session facilitators are typically familiar and fluent in the language of the target group. So, while we know that, or the title of this presentation, or of this panel, I should say, is Place, Race, and Gender, we know that culture is a major factor in implementing DSME programs and how it's delivered and how it's received amongst its participants. Culture is not just race and ethnicity, but also includes gender, age, health beliefs, location, and geography. Cultural tailoring is defined as the development of interventions, training practices, or materials to conform to specific characteristics of a target group. So I'm going to discuss a little bit about some of the, five cultural tailoring strategies that are typically used with health promotion interventions. So the first strategy I'd like to talk about is the peripheral strategy. This strategy really offers an opportunity for programs and materials to appeal to a different group, the target group or a given group. What you have here is an example of the NDP Diabetes Resource Catalog. It is a catalog that brings together information specifically for Asian American, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders. The next strategy that is often used is evidential. Evidential strategy is the use of data. Or evidence to show how a particular condition or disease impacts a target group. Here you have is an infographic by ADA that describes how diabetes affects African Americans. So it's just a snapshot of how this condition impacts this target group. The next strategy is the linguistic strategy, and we see this more commonly. So what we have here is an opportunity for program or materials to be more accessible to the target group by providing those materials in the native language or dominant language of the group. Here we have an example of the Tamando Control de su Salud curriculum, which is your standard DSME curriculum that is tailored for Spanish speakers. Another very popular strategy that's being used is what researchers are calling the constituent involving strategy, and where programs draw upon the experience of members of the target group. We often see this in the use of community health workers, lay leaders, and promotores. And last but not least, is the social cultural strategy. In this strategy, it offers a program an opportunity to address health issues in the context of broader cultural values, beliefs, and behaviors. The materials will reflect normative cultural practices of the target group. Here you have an example of materials developed by CDC that focus on using stories to convey health information. And we know that in particular populations in certain regions, storytelling is a very effective way to discuss health issues and to receive information about health issues from target populations. So here, I'm going to use, and I'd love to talk about all of the programs that we have and how they've used different approaches to increase participation in DSME, but I only have 12 minutes. So I'm going to go through a few of the examples from the Vulnerable Populations Program. So the first is the National Kidney Foundation of Michigan. Kidney Foundation focuses on African Americans in three communities in Michigan, Flint, Inkster, and Detroit. Currently, the National Kidney Foundation is implementing the Diabetes Path Workshop, which is a six-week DSME program. As you can see here, the Kidney Foundation uses actually some of materials that can be assessed through the National Diabetes Education Program to adapt and change the look of their materials to so that it reflects the communities that they're working with. What you have here is Donna Burrell, which is a participant in the DSME program in Michigan. They've adapted their materials to reflect Donna's story. And what we found is that participants are more in tune with the program and are able to really see themselves in the materials that they use. And they found that to be very helpful in getting them engaged. The diabetes program also offers health literacy supplemental workshops for those folks who participate, because they found that not only were their participants lacking knowledge of diabetes, but also having difficult time understanding basic health issues. So after the six-week workshops, they offer every week a one-hour supplemental workshop for health literacy. They have an opportunity to take them through different materials on the web and just show them how to seek information not only about diabetes, but also other health conditions. The National Kidney Foundation has also trained over 40 community health workers to facilitate these sessions across the three communities. In the past 2 years, they've had 10 cohorts of the Diabetes Path program with over 300 participants enrolled. Right now, they have a completion rate of over 50%. And this is a picture of their community health workers that they've trained and their certificates. Just a few of them. And next, I'd like to highlight the work of the Association of American Indian Physicians. The group is actually here today, so happy to see them. We're only highlighting the work of the United Home and Nation today, but they do lots of great work. I just want to preface by saying that. With the United Home and Nation, currently they're offering a standard DSME training program for 6 weeks. They as well have adopted materials from NDEP. This particular flyer that you see actually includes a family in the United Home and Nation indicating or sharing messages, I should say, about diabetes. One of the other opportunities that the United Nation has used in order to increase participation in DSME is their Diabetes Through a Lens Photo Voice project. And there's a picture of the Facebook announcement recruiting folks to participate in the Photo Voice opportunity or Photo Voice project. Again, what we have here is an opportunity for storytelling and gathering information about diabetes, and particular in this case, how the people in this community see their environment as a factor in the self-management of their diabetes. So just to go back a little bit, in the last year, the United Home and Nation has conducted over two cohorts of DSME. They've had 51 participants enrolled, and they have a completion rate of over 50%. And last but not least, we have the National Alliance on Hispanic Health. This project works with the Hispanic Latino migrant seasonal farm worker community in Watsonville, California. Currently, they are implementing Project Dulce, which is a 12-week, two-hour session specifically targeting the Hispanic Latino community. The DSME classes are offered at a local church. One of the things that has been a challenge for this particular project is the fact that they are working with a very transient population. So there has been significant outreach to the farm workers during the day, actually at their farms where they're working. Our site coordinator there has done a fantastic job with building relationships with some of the commercial farmers and having opportunity to go out and actually, as I mentioned, speak with the workers about diabetes and other health issues during their work day. So this has been a tremendous help in getting people engaged and getting some of the workers involved in attending the diabetes classes. Also, they have trained over 30 lay leaders to implement the DSME classes. Again, health literacy is an issue amongst this population. The way that they have decided to kind of enhance the literacy of those participants is by offering the buddy system, so that those folks who have lower health literacy are paired with individuals who are participating in the program that have higher health literacy, and that seems to be working very well. So over the last year and a half, they've had three cohorts. They've had 51 participants enrolled, and they have a 40% completion rate at this time. One of the things that they have also looked to do, because of the transient nature of the farm workers or of that population, the developers of Project Dulce are currently pilot testing a 6-week program specifically targeting this population, because it's been a little bit difficult to get the population to commit to 12 weeks of DSME classes given their work schedules and given the seasonal changes. So hopefully we'll have some information or some data on how that's worked and whether or not it's increased participation in the program shortly. And that is just a picture of our site coordinator as he's doing outreach to some of the farm workers. And so last, here are our lessons learned, or a few lessons learned, I should say, from the program. Ideally, you want to take the time to really get to know your target audience, and that's something that we hear over and over again. And we know that sometimes once you get funding and your program gets going, it's a little bit difficult to stop and really do some of the extra work that's needed to get to know your target audience. But these grantees really found value in taking that time. So if you have the opportunity to do focus groups or key informant interviews, community needs assessment, or even pilot test your program with your population, there is certainly value in that. Obviously, making the DSME sessions as convenient as possible. Any opportunity that you have to meet the target population where they are is essential. Community members should be involved with the project design and implementation as much as possible. Particularly in working with vulnerable populations, you want to build trust and you want to have the buy-in of your community before implementing any type of program. And last but not least, but use and incorporate stories where possible. Really getting people to talk about their diabetes or tell their stories, even if the stories of family members and how that diabetes has impacted them, has really been valuable. We found that stories create meaning of the information that we provide to them. It fosters understanding and the collaborative spirit, and also bridges cultural divides in that what you see across different cultures is often the same. It reveals cultural norms, core values, and promotes co-learning and empowering, so that when people hear their stories or are able to tell their stories, they feel empowered about how they're able to change their stories. And so that's all that I have. Thank you very much. If you'd like any additional information about the VP programs, please feel free to contact me. And thank you so much for your time.